Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to 1 Chronicles 29. Today we're actually going to go a little different direction than I had planned to be going a few weeks ago. But then again, nothing has gone like I have planned the last few weeks, okay? Obviously, we missed out, as I mentioned earlier, on the opportunity to hear the Vanuatu missionaries, because we had to cancel service due to snow. And then, again, things changed up on me Saturday night, actually really more Sunday morning, as I was sick, and my wife had to kind of step up unexpectedly and do the service. And my poor wife, man, when I woke her up at 8 and told her, her eyes, I think, were, you know, as big as saucers, but she just faithfully came and served and did an amazing job, and I'm so thankful for that. But in this, I'm just reminded once again that it's great to schedule and we plan and we do those things as long as we're flexible and as long as we give room for the Lord to do whatever He wants to do, right? And so I just trust that God is in control. And so that means instead of jumping back into our series through Acts like I had thought we were going to do, I thought we were going to get back into Acts and start driving it home for this year. But instead, I'm going to be obedient to the Lord, and we're going to go a different direction today. We'll be back in Acts next week, Lord willing. Okay, I say that lightly, you know, again. But for today, we're kind of heading a different direction. As I mentioned, last week was our 5th anniversary as a church. It was January 15th, 2012, that we had our first service here in this building. And if you remember, there was actually snow on the ground. I was like, serious, God? Is anybody going to show up today? I think a lot of other churches were canceled, but we were starting and we were going to do church. And it was an amazing day. And here's the thing, it's such a blessing for me to look back over the last 5 years and see where we started as a church and where we've come as a church. Little did I know how God would use us, little Dallas Foursquare Church, to impact this wonderful community here in Dallas, Oregon, that I think that we're privileged to be a part of. And so my main focus this morning is going to be on who we have become as a church. And whether you are aware of it or not, we have become a church that gives. Many people in our community know of Dallas Foursquare Church as a church that gives. And so today I'm going to talk about a church that gives. That's the title of my message, A Church That Gives. And we're going to talk about why we believe that all of us should ultimately be people who give, not just financially, but giving of our time, giving of our resources. Today I'm going to combine our message, this message on giving, with our year-end financial meeting, something that we've kind of started doing the last couple years. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me. We're going to read from 1 Chronicles 29, verses 1 through 18. This is what it says, beginning in verse 1. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stones and marble. All of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. 3,000 talents of gold, gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, for the overlays of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And who had precious any who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Verse 10, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatest, and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the heart of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you." A lot of stuff there. But when King David recorded these words, it was at a time when Israel's spiritual life was at its peak. King David now was at a time when he was an old man, and he was in the process here of handing the baton off to his son Solomon. It was the passing of the baton from father to son. Now, if you know, David's desire for years had been to build a temple to the Lord. If you remember, that was David's desire. He wanted to finally build a temple to the Lord. Because if you remember, up to this time, the worship of God had been centered around a tent. There wasn't an official temple. And so David wanted to build a permanent structure. But because of his sin, if you remember his sin with Bathsheba, God told David that he wouldn't be allowed to build the temple. Instead, it would be his son Solomon that would have that privilege. And so David is now rallying people, calling the nation of Israel together to work with his son, to partner with him in the building of the temple. And this scripture, it's an inspiring story of God's people giving generously to do the work of the Lord. And the reality is God has called us as his church of today to do the same, to give generously to build his church. His church. We have to remember that it's not my church. It's not your church. It's His church. And as I read these scriptures, I think that there were six things that stood out to me about a church that gives. And I want to share them with you this morning. The first is this. A church that gives, gives to God, not man. A church that gives, it's given to God. It's not giving to man. In verse 1, David says that the work of building the temple was a great work because it wasn't being built for man, but for the worship and the glory of God. You see, it's one thing to give your hard-earned money to a man or to a facility, right? No one wants to give their hard-earned money to a facility. But it's a whole different thing when we give our money to the Lord, when we give it to God. You see, when we give money to the ministry of the local church, we're giving it to help build God's church, or at least that's what we're supposed to be giving it to. I know that's what happens here, and I hope that that's what happens at most churches. We're called to give it to build God's church, to reach the lives that God has called that church to reach, to extend His kingdom. Now, the thing we have to realize is that the New Testament church isn't a building. Back here, they were building the temple. They were building a building. But the New Testament church today, it isn't a building. It's not about a physical structure. It's about building the body of Christ, which is us. It's the people. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" We are the church. So when we give to the local church, we partner with the building of people. People of faith that glorify Him and seek to grow His church, to extend His kingdom. We give because the new King, King Jesus, He invites us to partner with Him in the building of His church, to go into all the world and to share the gospel, to see His kingdom extended. The ministry of Dallas Four Square Church, it's not my work. It's God's work. It's not something, let me tell you, it's not something that I dreamt up, okay? I never sat in bed going, "Oh, someday I hope to start a church," right? Any of you who know me know that I never desired to be a senior pastor. I wanted to be a youth pastor for life. I did not desire to be a senior pastor, much less I never wanted to plant a church. I thought, "Okay, God, if you're going to make me a pastor, that's fine. I'm okay with that. But please, I do not want to plant a church." And guess what God did? He had me plant a church. I definitely did not dream this up. But God did. It's God's church. And our desire here is to fulfill the mission of the Lord, the mission that He gave us, which is to teach others to love God, to love people, and to extend His kingdom. That's our mission as Dallas Four Square Church. And so when we give to the work of Dallas Four Square Church, we give to God, not man. The second thing that spoke to me from this scripture is this. A church that gives expresses their devotion to God. They show how much they love the Lord. In verse 5, David asks a question. He says, "Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord?" David is basically saying here that giving to the temple was a matter of consecration to God. And David's generous gift himself came from a consecrated heart. Now, this word consecrated, what does that even mean, right? I mean, some of us are going, "That's great. What does consecrated mean? I don't know that word." The word consecrate means to set apart or to devote, to set apart or to devote ourselves to something. And that's what David did here. David was fully devoted to God. And this gift that he gave expressed his devotion to the Lord. You see, I believe if we're truly devoted to God, if we're truly devoted to the Lord, if we're truly devoted to the advancement of His kingdom, then giving, it'll be a part of who we are in Christ. Whether that's giving financially, whether that's giving of our time, whether that's giving of our resources, whatever it is, it will be a part of who we are in Christ because we're devoted to Him. If we truly love God with all of our heart, and if we're truly devoted to Him, we'll want to give all that we can for Him because we love Him. Which kind of leads us to ask ourselves this difficult question. Probably the most difficult question we're going to hear this morning. What does my giving this past year, whether that's financial, whether that's of resources of my time, what does my giving this year say about my devotion to God? We want to say we're devoted. We want to say that we love the Lord and we would do anything for Him. But what does my giving say about my devotion to Him? Because whether we want to believe it or not, our giving, our heart of giving, is a direct reflection of our devotion to God. And know this, God doesn't need our money. This isn't some scheme of the Lord to get rich, okay? Right? You know, God doesn't need our money. It's about our heart, and it's about our devotion to Him. Which leads me to the third thing that spoke to me from these scriptures about giving, which is this. A church that gives should give generously. In verses 2 through 5, it tells us of the enormous gifts that David gave for the building of the temple, all the gold and the silver and all the things that he gave. And in verse 14, I love what he says. He says, "But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" He points out that the generosity of the people here. And generous giving is something that I really believe it's biblical. God desires that we would want to give to Him and to His work. That we would want to give generously. It's a major principle found throughout the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 8:2, Paul says this. He says, "Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." Now, in this scripture, he's referring to the church of Macedonia. The church in Macedonia was a very poor church. They weren't a wealthy church. Yet, they gave generously. I think that's a lot of who we are here at Dallas Four Square Church. We're not a rich church, but we give generously. One thing we have to understand is that giving generously, it has nothing to do with how wealthy we are. You remember the woman, right, that puts in the pennies into the offering? She wasn't wealthy, but Jesus said she gave more than anybody. You see, to give generously means giving with an open heart. It's not just giving out of what we can afford. You know, we see that a lot. Well, I can give this because I'm wealthy. And we see the wealthy people in our world, you know, write checks and whatnot. It's not giving out of what we can afford. It's giving out of obedience. That's what God's called us to. That's what we as a church, our heart and desire from day one has been to be obedient to the Lord. It's yours. We hold loosely, because we want to be obedient to what you have called us to do. We want to give out of obedience. We want to give out of love. It goes back to the last point about our devotion to God. We see this from David in verse 3. He says, "Besides in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God. Over and above everything, I have provided for this holy temple." David's love for God prompted him to give even from his own personal treasure, not just out of his wealth. His love for God caused him to give generously. You see, we're always willing to give more to those things that we love, right? And as we grow in our love for the Lord, we'll grow in our desire to give generously to Him and His work. When we give, we should give generously out of our love for God. The fourth thing that spoke to me out of the Scriptures is this: a church that gives should give willingly. In these Scriptures, David places great emphasis on the willingness with which the people gave to God and the building of the temple. As a matter of fact, the word willing is used four times throughout verses 6 through 17. And at the end of verse 17, he says this: "And now I have seen with joy how willingly you, your people who are here, have given to you." David and the people didn't give because they felt guilty. That's not what this is about. They didn't give because they felt pressured. They didn't give because they got a tax break, right? They gave out of a sincere desire to give. The New Testament makes it very clear that this is a principle of giving that is important to the Lord. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:7, "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." God doesn't want our offering if we give it reluctantly. Remember, He doesn't need our money. He doesn't want us to give out of guilt. I don't want that. Our church, our council doesn't want that. If you notice, we took the offering before I spoke this morning. As a matter of fact, I wanted to take an offering at the end for Vanuatu, and I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to share this message on giving and then put a plate in front of them, okay? Because that's not what this is about. This message isn't about guilting anyone into giving. This message is about teaching godly principles of why we give. It's teaching us why we give as a church. And we know one of those reasons is God wants us to give willingly and cheerfully out of our love and out of our devotion to Him. Which leads me to the next thing that spoke to me from these Scriptures. Number five, a church that gives experiences His joy. Now the key to this one is giving with the right heart. That's how we experience His joy. David and his people rejoiced greatly after they had given willingly and generously. We see this in verse 9. In verse 9 it says, "The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David, the king, also rejoiced greatly." And in verse 17 it says, "I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willing your people who are here have given to you." I think it's important to notice David's emphasis on joy here. With joy, how willingly you gave. Joy was a result of having given to God's work. I don't believe we'll ever truly know the joy possible in life until we learn to give the way that God intended us to give. That it's not about us, it's about Him, it's about His kingdom. Jesus taught us this in His preaching. Right? If you remember Acts 20, 35. Not that we've gotten there yet. After a year, we're still only to Acts 16. Okay, we'll get to 20 ourselves soon. But in Acts 20, 35, it says that Jesus Himself said, it's more blessed to give, right, than to receive. He tells us that when we give, we'll receive more joy than when we get things. And I've seen this in my own life. I'll be honest. I used to be a pretty selfish guy. And I still can be at times, right? I'm human. I'm growing in this area. But I'll tell you this, having kids changed a lot of things in my life. After having kids, I found myself spending my own money, okay? My wife and I, we learned early in marriage counseling when we first got, before we got married, that we should have an allowance. And so from day one, we have an allowance. It's my money. I can spend it on whatever I want. I don't have to ask her, hey, honey, can I spend it? And she doesn't say, I have to say, hey, honey, can I go buy this with that money? You can buy whatever you want. It's yours. You can spend it on whatever you want. And so I found after having kids, I would spend my own money on them and realized how much more pleasurable it was to spend money on them than myself. To see their face when I would come home, you know, with some cool gift or thing that I bought for my son and told him how much I loved him, or for my daughter. And I discovered this. Some of the happiest people I know are often some of the most generous givers. I've also found the opposite to be true as well. Some of the most grumpy and unhappy people I know are the most selfish people. If we want to be people who experience true joy in our lives, then we need to be unselfish givers who give with a right heart, regardless of what it is that we're giving. And now the final thing that stood out to me about these scriptures is probably one of the most important for us to understand, which is this. And this is a hard one for many of us. And there's a lot of people in this world that don't believe this. But a church that gives is giving God what was His to begin with. It's giving God what's His to begin with. Listen to what David says in verse 14. Everything comes from You. And we have given You only what comes from Your hand. And then in verse 16 he says, O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building Your temple for Your holy name, it comes from Your hand, and all of it belongs to You. David makes two key points in these verses. The first is that everything we have, everything we get, everything in life that we ever have comes from God. Because the reality is we would have nothing. No money, no possessions, no family, no health, no life, if God hadn't given it to us. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Every good and perfect gift, everything, it's from God. It's from above. And then Deuteronomy 8:17-18 says this, You may say to yourself, My power and the strength of My hands have produced this wealth for Me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to you, your forefathers, as it is today. The truth is, there is no such thing as a self-made person. There's no such thing as a self-made person. Our ability to make a living is a direct gift from God the Father. Everything we own, whether it's our houses, our cars, our jewelry, our big screen TVs, the toys that we love, all of them came from God. He is the source of all of our possessions. And when we give to God, we're simply giving back some of what He first gave us. So think about this. How ungrateful are we when we're willing or when we're unwilling to give God some of what He gave us in the first place? It would be like me buying Toby and Emma, right, a bag of M&Ms. I buy them this big bag of M&Ms. And it's for them. But as they're sitting there eating the M&Ms, I just say, "Hey, can I have one?" And they respond by saying, "No. These are my M&Ms. Get your own M&Ms, right? Buy your own bag." Now, it sounds kind of childish. It sounds like, come on, really? But I think it is it's a perfect example. We have to realize anything we have has been given to us by God. And the second key point David makes in these verses is that everything we have not only came from God, it belongs to God. I don't believe in the 10% tithe. That was the Old Testament. It's everything. It's all God's. And so our job is just to say, "Okay, God, it's all yours. What do you want me to do with it?" For some of us, He might say, "Hey, I give 10%. For some of us, He might say, "Hey, I know you're struggling right now. Man, if you could just give 2%, I'd be happy with that." And others, God might say, "You know what? There's a lot of people in this world that operate on like half of what you make. I'll take 25% of what you got." Right? I mean, it's different for all. It's all God's. It belongs to Him. We're simply called to steward what He's given us. And a steward is someone who manages the resources of another to accomplish the goals of the owner. Since everything we have comes from God and belongs to God, we don't have the right to deny Him whatever He may ask of us. Let me give you another example. Let's imagine that when Toby turns 16, I buy him a 1967 Cougar. Okay? Now, that's what I had in high school. I bought it when I was a sophomore. I worked hard and I fixed it all up. And by my senior year, it was beautiful. And I drove it to school my first day of my senior year. And so he's seen pictures of my 67 Cougar and he wants a 67 Cougar. They're a lot more expensive today than they used to be, okay? He's probably never getting a Cougar. But let's just say I buy him a 67 Cougar to drive. I pay for the gas. I pay the insurance. I cover the cost of maintenance and repairs. And so one Friday night, I decide I want to take out Stacy. I want to take my wife out on a date in the Cougar. But Toby tells me I can't use his car. He has plans for it. Now, again, this sounds far-fetched. And I know Toby wouldn't do that. Toby's a good kid, okay? But it's no different than how we act when we refuse to give God what's really His in the first place. When we come to the realization that it's God's, it becomes easier for us to give it away. It's His. That's why I told you as a church, we don't do this. We do this. Our hands are open because it's all His. He can put what He wants in us. He can bless us however He wants. And we love it. But He also can take whatever He wants because it's His. And we want to use it to bless others. Proper stewardship when it comes to giving is simply our loving response to all that God has blessed us with. When we look at these scriptures, we realize giving is far more than churches just asking for money. I know that there are churches that ask for money. I'm not a big fan of that, okay? I trust in the Lord. He is in charge of our finances. It's far more than just giving the least amount that we can get away with giving. It's understanding a godly principle that God Himself demonstrated as He gave for us His Son. He gave us everything Himself. I can share this message on giving today without apologizing. I know I hated giving messages when I was growing up in the church. And that's because I had seen them abused and I had seen them used in the wrong way. But I can share this message today without apologizing, because it's not a plea for money. Our church is not struggling financially. I'm not up here speaking about giving because we need money. Okay? As a matter of fact, we are at the best place financially that we've been since we started the church. And I believe that's a result of our church council and a church leadership that has said from the very beginning that this is not our church. It's not our money. It's all His. It's all God's. And from day one, I believe it's too. We've had faithful people who have faithfully given and have trusted God to be our provider. That's what giving is about. It's about trusting that it's all God's, and it's trusting that His hand is upon these things. Amen. Let me pray, and then I'm going to try to hurry and wrap things up with our quick financial report. So, Lord, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for this word. And Lord, this is a hard word at times to talk about giving, but again, I don't apologize because, Lord, it's something You ask of us, Lord, to be people who are willing to give, to be selfless instead of selfish, Lord. And so I thank You that this church, Lord, over 5 years has become a church that is known for giving, Lord. And we want to continue to be that kind of church, Lord, that we're not focused on ourselves, but we're focused on You and Your kingdom and how we can extend Your kingdom, Lord, throughout Dallas, but also throughout the world, through the missionaries that we support and the ways that we give, Lord. And so I just pray, Lord, that You allow this message to fall where it may, Lord, on our hearts, to reach each of us where we're at, Lord, that we would grab those things that were spoken today that You want to speak to each of us as individuals. And so we thank You for these things. We give You this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to try to go fast here now. I want to finish things this morning by sharing with you what God has done at Dallas Foursquare Church in 2016. Over this past year, we as a church are at a real exciting place. We have given away more money this year than we have ever given, and it's exciting, and it's because of our heart as a church to give. And it's because of faithful people like you who have given faithfully. And so in 2016, we saw an increase in our giving again. And the table that I'm going to put above here shows the increase between 2015 and 2016. We brought in $199,795 in 2015, $205,521 in 2016. And that breaks into two things. It breaks into our tithable income, and it breaks into our designated giving. And so that 205 breaks down. We had some designated giving. This is stuff that we give opportunity for you to give to as a church. You gave $5,500 to missions this year, which is amazing from a church our side to be able to bless missions in that way. Adopt a family. $2,500 that you gave this year to help bless families at Christmas and help others, and that's benevolence as well too. $610 came into youth. $125 came into men's and women's ministries. Camp scholarship, $7,190. Now that's a little bloated. Let me share it with you this. I'm going to give you just a quick background here. We're going to talk about the fact that we tithe 10% to our denomination. As a church, we believe in tithing. We believe in giving to the church. So we give to the big church organization to help it operate, to do things like plant churches and ministry and those kind of things. Foursquare over the years, the last few years, has said, man, we want to get more of that money back into ministry and doing things in local communities. So they've been giving money back each year, different amounts of money, with the idea that we put that into things that, one, are evangelistic or help raise up leaders. And so we as a church have decided that money that comes in is going to go to camp, because what a great way to raise up young leaders in our church and to evangelize through camp. And so about $4,200 of that $7,190 was money that actually came from Foursquare back to us to put into ministry. And so that's where that bloated number of $7,190 comes from. So total designated giving was $16,175. And our tithes and offerings, which is all money that isn't designated, it's money that helps us operate buildings, salaries, all that kind of stuff, was $189,346. Our monthly budget is based off that tithable income, which is the money that comes from our regular tithes and offerings. And so our average monthly income for 2015 was $15,317. And so our average monthly income for 2016 was $15,779. So we have increased by $462 a month and about $5,544 a year, which is awesome. Because this year we went through some transition. We had people that had left pastoral. If you remember, we had our worship leader heading off to a different church and some different changes that happened, and we lost some leadership. But in the midst of that, God brought more people, and we continued to provide and took care of us through all those things. And it's just an awesome testimony of faithful giving. And so some highlights of 2016. And one of the exciting highlights of 2016 is that we increased our giving as a church. And here's kind of a breakdown of what that looked like. Like I mentioned, we give 10% of our tithable income back to our denomination, all right? And so we tithe $19,000, a little bit more there, to our Foursquare denomination for ministry and things like that. To our Alaska, India, and Vanuatu missionaries, we gave $14,351 to our missionaries this year, which just is amazing. It's awesome to see that we get to support those missionaries. Community giving, this is things like... we have the Community Connect that happens each year. We have the school supply drive. We have, Adopt a Family falls in there as well. The many different things that we do in our community to give back to our community. We gave over almost 14,000 back to our community this year, blessing them in many different ways. And then benevolence, that kind of goes back to our community too. Benevolence are situations, people come in to the church, they may be from our church, they may not be from our church, but maybe they are struggling with their electric bill or struggling with, you know, things, they need money for moving, different things and situations, and that's where we get to give back to them, to bless them and help people in difficult times. And that's what the benevolence is. And then scholarships, we had $5,440 come in. Again, $4,000 of that was from Foursquare. That's what we paid out. So we sent a lot of kids to camp this year that don't go to church, whose parents don't go to church. And it was just awesome to be able to pour that money and again to give back to kids in our community. And so that was that. And so total giving in 2016 was $57,730. 28% of our income, almost 30% of our income. I don't know a lot of churches that do that, but that's what we're called to do. We are called to be a giving church, to give and to bless others. And as we do that, God continues to provide and take care of us. And then this doesn't even count. This doesn't even include, okay, what we give away as far as building and utility usage. Because I've said from day one that a church shouldn't just be filled on Sundays. We don't want this building just to happen on Sunday and then sit empty the rest of the week. We're about our community and giving back to our community. And so many of you know that before we even started as a church, we let Kids Inc. in the building here. And Kids Inc. has 4 office spaces. And basically, they just cover their own phone, their own internet, and help out with a little bit on utilities. We don't charge them any rent or anything. Total, they pay like $225 to cover all those things. We could be charging them for the amount that they are using. We could easily be charging over $1,000 for the amount of space that they use in our church. But we donate to them. We give back to our community this great sports program that we have. And that's something that God has called us to do. And then I don't know if you know this, but 4 days out of the week, we have Dallas Charter School takes place down in our basement area. It's the middle school that happens here. They have classes in the morning on Mondays, afternoons on Tuesdays, mornings on Wednesdays, and afternoons on Thursdays. And we don't charge them anything. They were looking for a place. They came and met with me, and they said, now, what do you charge? I said, you know what? Nothing. We want to bless our community. And so we're able to give that to them and the utilities and things. And so ultimately, there's another $1,000 to $2,000 a month that we give away by not taking anything. And so, again, it's just an opportunity for us to bless and to give back to our community. And so, real quick here, sorry, I hate to be at past 11:30, and I totally apologize. And I know my wife's and kids' ministry is downstairs, so she's not going to be happy with me. But last thing, a look ahead to 2017. Our annual budget is set for $186,312. That's actually less than what we made last year. So we're not trying to, you know, we just want to be faithful to grow and keep doing what God's called us to do. It breaks down to a monthly budget of $15,526 a month. And let me just do one last thing here, give you the budget breakdown to kind of show you what it looks like percentage-wise of how we give. So if you look at the budget breakdown, we got tithe is 10%. We just do that. The first thing we do, 10% of our tithable income goes to back to the church to bless Foursquare and the way that they do ministry. And then personnel is 49%. Right now, we have 4 paid staff. Myself, I'm the only full-time staff that's here. We have Sheila that is part-time at 20 hours a week. We have Micah that is part-time at 10 hours a week doing youth ministry and custodial stuff, which I want to say this. Larry did an amazing job for years doing our custodial, and we were in this process of trying to figure out how to bring on a youth pastor and how to figure out finances. And the Lord put on my heart to talk to Larry, and it was the hardest thing I ever did. And Larry willingly said, "Darren, whatever will help you, I want to do." And he gave up that little, I mean, it wasn't much, a couple hours a week here, there, but he gave up that so that we could bring Micah on. Again, just that is a heart of giving, of being willing to do that. And the Lord blessed that because he opened up the door for Larry to work more and to provide work other ways for him. And so anyways, I just want to say thank you to Larry for that. But so, and then my wife works about 5-6 hours a week doing all the bookkeeping and finances for our church. And so that makes up that 49%. Insurance is just 2% that goes out for insurance. Facilities, which is our everything that makes this happen as far as mortgage, utilities, all that kind of stuff, it's at 14%, which I love. My heart and desire is to never go over 15% of building. We always want to leave the next, we don't ever want to leave the next generation in debt. And my heart and desire is to never be a church that leaves anything or anyone in debt. And so we will always, as long as I'm a pastor here, Foursquare allows you to go up to 45%, okay? As long as I'm a pastor here, we will never go over 15% as far as facilities. That's my heart and that's my desire. We will raise the money before we ever build or do anything. And so that's the way I always want to be. Ministry is at 16%. Missions, we upped this year. We were 2% last year. And our goal and desire is to go up 1% every single year until we get to 10%, to where we're giving both 10% tied to the church back and 10% to missions. That's our goal, to grow in that. And so we're up to 3% this year. And then community giving, we're at 6%. And so, again, I hope you see that it's out of obedience, it's out of faithful giving that allows us as a church to do the ministry that we're called to do, to give away in the way that we're called to give. And so I thank each of you for your faithfulness in that. And so it's exciting because we're called to love God and to love people and to extend His kingdom. And one of the ways we do that is just through faithful giving and being able to give back and bless our community. Amen.